The Catholic bishops have a document that they issued back in 2007 and have provided it again for Catholics in the United States, along with an introductory note. And the title of the document is Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. And they encourage Catholic voters to be well-informed about the issues, but not to look at them strictly through a partisan lens or through their own self-interest, but to look at the issues and evaluate the candidates based upon Catholic social and moral teaching. So they really encourage people to be bringing their faith to the voting booth and not just their own partisan interests.
And what is the Church's teaching? What does it say when it comes to the question of participating in the political process? It is keen for Catholics to do that, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's not just something that we have as a privilege in the United States or many other democratic countries, but it's an actual responsibility. Because of the importance of Catholics to be respecting the dignity of each person, not just ourselves, not just our neighbors, but everyone, all of our brothers and sisters around the world, and to look at that with a focus on the common good. So, for example, a common election question or phrase that many candidates offer is, you know, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And really for Catholics, the question is, are we better off? Or how could we be better off?
What are Catholics seeing as some of the key issues in this election? I mean, obviously, I know the main issue is the economy when it comes to Americans at large, but when it comes to Catholics?
Sure. I think a lot of Catholics are very concerned in their own families and communities about jobs and the economy, and I'm sure that's even heightened if you or someone in your family is without work. But we also have our other priorities, and first and foremost is the right to life, and how are we protecting all human life, making sure that it's protected from conception to natural death. And that is under bigger threats in some state ballot initiatives, such as some of the euthanasia proposals in some states, but also the issues around abortion and contraception, which also kind of segues to the other priority for us, which is religious liberty. And that we need to make sure that no government, whether it's at a local, state, or federal level, is requiring us to do what our conscience forbids us to do. And so that includes looking at many of the new healthcare policies, as well as how are we protecting the religious liberty of our brothers and sisters around the world, and some of that intersects very much with foreign policy. And then another issue for us is marriage and the family, and how are we protecting that lifelong union of one man with one woman? And that is being under threat by simply changing the definition of marriage, but also, again, through economic threats and financial threats to families, where it's really hard for families to make it day to day and to provide for their children. The issue of immigration continues to be a priority for the Catholic Church in the United States. We are in desperate need of immigration reform that is comprehensive, that focuses on keeping families together, on recognizing the dignity of all people and all workers. And that issue could be something that is dealt with immediately with the new Congress, or could again get just pushed down the road. A lot of that will depend upon how the election goes. And then, of course, finally, economic justice, and how do we make sure that workers who want work have it, and have it with decent working conditions, with living wages, in a way that they can provide for the basic needs of their families, and including the right to form unions, which is not necessarily a very popular topic these days, but church teaching is supportive of workers having that option of coming together to make sure that their jobs have good wages and working conditions.
How would you describe the mood among Americans as they prepare to vote? I mean, is there a lot of public interest in this election because it's so close, or are people rather torn off by politics and politicians because your electoral process seems so long, at least from the point of view of a non-American? It seems to go on forever.
It's not just the point of view of a non-American. Most Americans also think it goes on and on. And that just fuels the polarization in our country, which is not helpful. And the bishops have been very clear in letters that they have written to elected officials whether it's Congress or the administration or local and state officials, urging that the parties come together and try to really work towards the common good, that this polarized zero-sum game politics is not helpful for our country or for the world, for that matter, because so many of the U.S. policies reverberate around the world. So there's been a real strong urging of that. And this is seen very front and center in the bishop's efforts to work with other Christian leaders in calling for a circle of protection that we will be putting around poor and vulnerable people at home and abroad when we look at the very serious issues around budget and federal deficits that are going to have to be addressed by the next administration and the new Congress. So they've really been trying to work with both sides of the aisle around that. I think most people at this point are just looking forward to it being over and hoping that the mandate that is sent by the voters is one that says that our leaders who we elect should be coming together and compromising and trying to figure out what the best way forward is for everybody.
Would you also agree with those, and again, I'm looking at what commentators here in Europe seem to say, that there was during this campaign a lot of negativity. You talked about the polarization, but this negativity of criticizing and slinging mud at the rival candidate, but not perhaps an awful lot of talk about their own political platform, you know, giving concrete information on the measures they're planning to take if elected to sort out some of the key problems facing the country.
Well, I'm not, or do not pretend to be an expert on electoral processes or how to sway voters. I do think that just the 24/7 news cycle perpetuates some of that. You know, anybody who wants to write a blog can put out their own information. And we also have a lot of influence from advertising and the internet that affects the elections. The nation faces some really serious issues, and there's certainly not a lot of silver bullet answers for many of the problems that we face, and those don't fit well into a 30-second ad on television or onto a bumper sticker. And then once candidates put something out there and say, well, this is what I think we should do, of course, then that just opens up the possibility for your opponent to take apart your argument and your solution. So unfortunately, I think that's right, that there hasn't been a lot of substantive discussion about how to move forward. And at the same time, I don't think there are a lot of easy answers, which requires discussion about how to move forward. And at the same time, I don't think there are a lot of easy answers, which requires and emphasizes the importance, again, of electing leaders who are going to really show leadership and who are willing to sit down and talk and work with all people.